Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
March into spring with this unbeatable deal from Breezeline. Get reliable, fiber-powered 1-gig internet for $59.99 per month, plus a $150 gift card and price lock guarantee. This deal gets even better with a free modem, free installation, and free Wi-Fi your way home. Safeguard your network from cyber threats and manage user access for all connected devices with this amazing offer. Act now. Terms and conditions apply. Offer expires May 6, 2024. Learn more at breezeline.com.
What's poppin', congregation? It's your girl Lacey Mosley, aka Scam Goddess. Welcome to an episode of Fraud Fridays, where we release older episodes from the Scam Goddess Vault. That's right, Fraud Fridays is where we bring back your favorite episodes from behind the paywall. Enjoy this episode from behind the paywall, and as always, stay scheming.
Scams!
Oh my God, guys, I have to formally introduce Arden. I've just been talking to her like we at the house right now. But guys, you've seen Arden in, first of all, I love Insatiable, and I did watch the show on Netflix and I binged it so freaking hard. But kills it in Insatiable. You're absolutely insane in that show. You've seen her in Shameless. You've seen her on the road doing stand-up. You've seen her on Orange is the New Black, honey. She's got a book that is out right now that I love.
It's coming out. Wait, it's coming out. They can pre-order it.
Oh, it says on sale September. Oh, okay, I'm fancy. I got the book. Before it came out.
No, you are the first person to get the bundle. You are the first. Those are going out a little bit later, and you're the only person who's gotten that.
This is the closest to me getting like a Beyonce box. Honestly, like I opened it up on Instagram. I was like, bitch, if it was some clothes in there, I was about to be coming out and wearing them.
Yes, you got your crazy puzzle.
It says on sale September 2020. The book is called Little Miss Little Compton. And I got quite the education from this because when I first saw this, I said, Art Mirror's from Compton, California? She from Bompton? Okay, Bompton on the map. Arden is a tiny blonde white woman. So I was like, what am I about to read? But then I learned that this is a small town in Rhode Island with no stoplights.
This is a small town in Rhode Island that has no stoplights. It has a general store. It has, the big criminal in town is a crow named Poe the Crow that was stealing people's mails, and it literally got put under house arrest. And that is, they had never heard of the Big Compton until the movie. They didn't even hear when the album came out, until the movie Straight Outta Compton.
So when Straight Outta Compton came out, they were like, who came out of here?
They were so excited. Like, literally, it was, the town could not have been more excited and had never heard of it. Like, had never, it's just fishermen and farmers and lobstermen.
God. Imagine when they learn that it's made by a group called Niggas with Attitude.
I mean, truly, I'm sure their minds were blown. Like, just white hair flying, like gin and white hair are just flying all over town.
Oh, my God. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit. So I haven't finished the book, but I did start it. And it's so funny and so interesting because you come from I have a family that is pretty wild, too. And you come from a wild family.
I come from a wild
family. Yes, and I found it so interesting that your grandparents just, like, got married on a whim. Like, can you tell the congregation how... I feel like your grandma, first of all, I feel like she scammed your grandpa.
Can I just say, as I was first of all, such a fan of yours, such a fan of your podcast, and I was thinking about, like, my scam, and I'm like, I am the product, I am literally the genetic product of two scams. Yes. My grandma thought my grandpa was rich, and she... like, was like, let me, like, wrap this up. She was sort of pretty and fun. She loved to party.
She was cute.
And she got it. She was cute. She got it done. Like, literally, they were in Philadelphia. They ran to Maryland to get married because you didn't need a blood test, like, one day after meeting. So that was the first one. And then the real scam came. My parents met in New York City. They worked together, and they were out, like, cocktailing one night. And one New Year's Eve, they were trying to figure out how to scam their workplace where everybody got 2 weeks vacation.
But if you got a honeymoon.
But if you want to... If you want a honeymoon, you got an extra 2 weeks. And so my dad, who was like such a lush, was like, hey, you know, my mom was a little cutie pie. And he was like, Janet, I dare you. We get married. I will take you to South America for 4 weeks. We'll come back and we'll get it annulled. And she had just been dumped by her college boyfriend. So like she thought this was, and he seemed fun and kind of wild. And so it was sort of the bad boy that it should have been like a week long fling. But I think because she was like, her feelings were hurt that she'd been dumped. She was like, okay. And then she called him back the next day and she said, she upped the ante. She was like, I will do it. We'll lie to our workplace. I will do it, but I'm not going to get it annulled. And then they had like a proper wedding like 6 weeks later. She borrowed her best friend Arden's dress, dress. My grandparents met him as like her fiance and they scammed their work. Like they went for a month. They fully scammed. That's why they got married and they stayed married until they died. 50 years. Nuts. Batshit crazy.
It's amazing. I think it's fantastic. And when I said your grandma, I actually meant your mom scammed your dad because I was thinking of that story. Oh. Because that story, your dad thought he was doing the scam and he was like, all right, sis, look, yeah, we ain't ever dated, but if we get together, I'm gonna give you a month off and we're going to South America. She was like, okay. And then he was like, we'll get it annulled when we get back. And then the next day she was like, I'm down, but no annulment.
Yes, she fully upped the, I mean, he thought he was the scammer.
Right.
He thought he was it. And she called his bluff. And it did. It felt like the ultimate game of chicken.
She was like,
chicken.
No, I'm your wife, like, you know, forever.
Yeah, I'm your way. And like he fully tricked her. And I didn't learn about it till I was like 14 and was my brother had like his girlfriend. And guys, you can read all about this in the book. You guys can read all this stuff. But my brother, I learned about it like when I was like 14 or 15. My brother had his first girlfriend and she was asking my mom how they met. And they seemed like such an odd fit that it finally explained, like, how did they get together? And I was like, of course it was on a dare. Of course it was on a dare. Like, that
We say that your mother rang the alarm, as the Beyonce song goes. She was like, she going to South America, let you go. Like, she was like, I'm not letting this man go. And I love it. Also, guys, the tea that has been spilled. Honestly, this is only 3-4 pages into the book after the foreword. So,
yes. Oh no, there is so much stuff. You have no idea. There's a lot. Look, I talk later on about, you know, I grew up in this tiny town and I had stars in my eyes and was able to, you know, make it onto a sitcom by 20 and sort of how I scammed that. And then I have a big hope. And then I spill some tea about like I did an episode of Friends and accidentally kicked Courtney Cox in the face during rehearsal one day. So there's all sorts of stuff. I talk about meeting Debbie Allen, who told me she goes, act in pain, heifer. And I was like, oh my God. Like, and I've always been obsessed with Debbie Allen from Fame. Like that was when I knew I'd made it, was getting screamed at by Debbie Allen. So it was truly just all the jerks.
If you get to be screamed at by a black queen, like, you know, you've really made it.
Oh, she was in a red fur coat and red Ugg boots, and she was screaming at me, and it was literally the best. It was like the little girl in me. I felt like I was on Fame, and she was. I was like, I want to pay in blood, sweat, and tears, and be approved of by Debbie Allen. It was everything.
That's how you know a black woman cares about you, when they yell at you. Okay.
I loved it. I felt like. When she said act in pain, heifer, I was literally like I felt like Dorothy clicking her heels like I'd made it to Oz. It was truly, I was like, because I felt like she knew that I would love it. She knew, I felt like she liked me and that she knew I would get it and love it. And it was, I was like, I'm in.
Yes. It was like, she called me a heifer. Yes. Let's get into it. What's hot and fraud? That's the first segment where we're going to warn our listeners about what's hot and fraud. Or sometimes we get listener letters. Pretty much all the time now we just do listener letters because I love to hear from the congregation.
Great.
Guys, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. Snitch on your friends, your family, yourself, but make sure that it's retired and leave out details. And if you do put in details, I will take them out for you because I've learned what I should not share.
Sure. We all do. We all, you know what? Everybody, you learn, but you grow as you go.
You do. Look, I don't eat on here anymore. God, guys. I keep mentioning that because I'm still pissed that y'all are so mean to me about it.
Trust me. I got one episode I made the error of, like a year ago, I ate some almonds.
How dare you?
I think I lost 88,000. I mean, truly, the anger. And I knew I was trying to hide my crunching, but even still, somebody was very triggered by my almonds.
Yes, they can tell.
I will never eat again.
And the girls will light the pitchforks, okay? As soon as they hear the smack, okay? They're coming to your home. Sure.
Oh, they don't know. They hate it and they hate you for they
How
hate
dare you
for doing it. Yes.
This is inspired by your book, Little Miss Little Compton, because you talk a lot about, obviously, like, your life, where you grew up, your family, things like that. So we're talking about a familial scam today. That's from one of our listeners.
I love it.
So can you give me a name, Arden, for this person?
Okay, I'm going to give you the name. Tina.
Tina. I like it. I like it a lot. Tina reminds me of Bob's Burgers, which I was like, oh. Great. I love it. Tina's the most horny woman alive, at least on Bob's Burgers.
Tina's so horny. Tina's so horny. I love it for Tina. I love
Tina
this
deserves.
For Tina.
So Tina says, sure. Hello, Lacey. This is my mother's long-retired scam. She has always loved one get-rich scheme or another, and this was one that I was involved in. When I was 7 and 8 years old, due to divorce and custody issues, my mother and I lived in Michigan during the week so I could attend school, and we visited my stepfather on the weekends. He worked at a small college in western Pennsylvania and lived across from campus. Every Sunday morning, my mother would send my 7-year-old friend and me to the frat house down the block with a trash bag. We would collect all the beer cans we could carry, and then we'd load up her VW Golf to the ceiling with these bags and drive 5-ish hours back to Michigan. And have a 10-cent return on each pop can. Pop, you're definitely from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, pop. I love, whenever I hear pop, I'm always like, oh my, it's like a time traveler, and I love
Back
it.
Back then, you could bring a bag of cans to the grocery store's customer service desk, and if they were busy, they wouldn't even open the bag, and they would just pay you for whatever quantity you said was in the bag, especially if you were 7 years old and your mama was waiting in the car. My mom had every angle on this figured out. She had me round up on the count on the can counts, and she must have realized that nobody at the grocery store would argue with a kid, even though after a couple years of this, they must have recognized and known that the can count was always off. The friend's father made a gadget that crushed multiple cans at a time so we could stuff more in the car each trip. She had us tell the frat guys, who were usually all hungover and wouldn't care anyway, that the money was for our college fund. The friend spent all $200 of her cut on candy all at once.
Yes, that is a girl after my own heart. I would go right for the fun dip. Right for the fun dip in Charleston cheese.
Listen, she's going to be licking powder off a stick for years.
She's just flying.
Tongue
flying.
Just raw.
Just raw dog tongue. No. Flying. Flying.
Oh, goodness. So she says that car would always smell awful after she started this and would attract flies if the windows were down. Damn. Y'all had that much beer in the car?
Yep.
I think of the smell of a old Natty Light, and if I had to drive in a car like that, oh God!
When I also picture them having been out like hot in the sun, like hungover, drunk frat boys, just like a really sweaty night. I picture lots of different kinds of beer and all just everything kind of mixed. Some mixers all mixed together with like the partial liquid left, hot, kind of juicy in the bottom of the bag. I'm impressed that there's not like anywhere else they could go get the can. I mean, that feels like a long drive to go hunt down those cans. But I think
it was a two-stop shop though. Like mama would go out there and get her stepdaddy dick, and then she could while she was getting dick down, she would send the kids off on a mission. She'd be like, give me a little friend, go over here, pick up cans. Y'all doing community service and be cheering.
Yes.
And then she would get dick down and then they would drive back and make money.
Yes, Tina's mama, Tina Senior is getting at it. Tina Senior is just getting down, and she's just, it's like almost a perfect babysitter distraction. It's like, we're going to make a little scratch. You're going to go, we're going to do some public service for these frat boys, and mommy's getting served.
Right. And I went to college in Pennsylvania, so I know the beers that they sell there, and it's definitely like the Natty Lights and the old, some people still doing Old English. This probably was around before Four Loko, I'm assuming. But,
Yes.
What's also crazy to me about this is what makes me laugh is, okay, so you in a frat and you in college, and it's just two little babies on your lawn every week, every weekend.
Seven-year-old.
Two little babies.
Seven-year-old. Hey, bro, who are those girls? So little.
Oh, those are just the babies who come clean up our cans.
Those are the can babies. Those are the cutie can. The can cuties.
No, they're really sweet, man. Their mom's great. She just drops them off, speeds away very quickly.
Very quickly. And she comes back very relaxed. Very relaxed.
Right, flushed in the face.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just like a whole different woman when she returns. Yeah, and these two little girls are out doing the, I mean, I love this kind of mom. I feel like I grew up really around these kind of moms where I don't think I could pick my friends' moms out of a lineup. Like, I feel like we were so unsupervised. The beauty of, like, completely unsupervised.
Oh, that's exact opposite. But yeah. She lived in a small town. Like, Little Compton is so small. I feel like you got to have that kind of barefoot childhood existence where you can run off and go wherever you want as long as you're back when the streetlights are off. I had that when I was a kid, like maybe up until 7. But after that, my mom and all her family was looking at me all the damn time trying to make sure I wasn't pregnant.
I mean, how I do remember when I got my period and I looked like Barb from Stranger Things. I mean, I think my mom had higher hopes for me, but I remember my mom immediately, I think I was like 11, and she was like, you can go on the pill. I'm like, what? Like, it was all just don't get pregnant. Just do not get pregnant. It was all
my
don't
mom
get
wasn't
pregnant.
Even like,
I mean, no
you
one
can go on the pill. She was like, if you have sex, I will know. You going to start walking different.
I mean,
you going to start looking different. And I just believed her. She was like, I own your body till you 18. And I just believed that. I just didn't have any sex. Because I was like, she owns it. She said. She scammed me.
Where you grew up in Texas, right? Where
Dallas.
In Texas? I love Dallas. Can I just say, I've done a lot of stand-up in Dallas, and it's my favorite city in America to
They're
do stand-up
very
in. I love hyenas.
Dallas crowds are like, thank you so much for just being here.
Yeah, and they're pretty chill. Like, I have to say, it's a pretty chill, like, I found it to be, like, a pretty good time. I felt like people were down to come hang and weren't uptight. Right. Like, I found it to be a pretty nice
crowd.
Because
in Dallas, people aren't, like, impress me. I feel like sometimes when I used to do stand-up, it was, like, people like, oh, I watch a lot of stand-up. You better, like, come with it.
Right.
But, like, in Dallas, I think people a lot of times are just, first of all, there's not a lot of nightlife. It's not like Houston. Like, Drake raps about Houston to compare. Like, he's not rapping about, oh, the strippers in Dallas.
Right.
But so when they get an event and they get an Arden come into town and they're like, oh, we know Arden from the television. Like, they're just going to be here hanging on whatever you got to say. You could have read the phone book. You didn't even have to do no jokes.
No, they were – I'd seen a local ad that – I remember doing local jokes about some guy that was like a local lawyer named The Hammer.
Yes,
have you seen
The Hammer?
Oh my God, The Hammer! And he's so angry, and he's The Hammer, and he drags like this giant hammer out into like the middle of like a highway, and like tries to fight like a semi truck, and he's like, I'm The Hammer. Like, and it was like, Wumba, you think you're better than The Hammer? It was like, it was so exciting. It was the angriest local ad I've ever seen anywhere. And I remember I did about like 40 minutes on The Hammer. And unfortunately, it's unusable anywhere else in America. But if I could have made my entire career just doing regional humor about The Hammer in Texas,
I mean, that's also just such a genius strategy as a comedian to pull something so local like that. Because The Hammer is crazy as hell. But listen, in Texas, we like crazy. So if a lawyer is on TV like, I will fight for you, we're like, okay.
That's what it was. It truly, and again, growing up in the smallest town, like, or in the smallest state in the nation, you know, I will not mess with Texas. I will only come and respect Texas. I know I will never win if I try to pick a fight with Texas. So I'm going to come just freaking give me a longhorn and let's talk about the hammer. Like, let's
Texas
do this.
Texas lawyers are
just
willing
nice
to fight
me.
A semi-truck for you.
It was truly like, it's like, I'm Jim Hammer, and you're going to get The Hammer. You dealing with The Hammer? You call jimhammer.com. I was like, it was one of the crazier.
But that's how you know you got a good lawyer, because it's like, even if he doesn't negotiate the case well, he still got a hammer, so he might just hit some people over the head, and look, you might still win.
He might. You might still win. And if you know, if you're enough of a wild card that you rolled the dice and you're like, I'm going to choose the hammer to rip me, then people know like that you've got nothing to lose. Like you, that you are like, you are a junkyard dog. You got nothing to lose. Like, let's just drop it. Let's just settle out of court.
The hammer and Brian Longcar. Now, Brian Longcar is more chill. But see, where is this accent coming from? Okay. God damn. But Brian Longcar, where the who was that?
Brian Longcar is coming over here. The longer I spend time like in Texas or in the South, when we did Insatiable was in Atlanta, and then I found like how quickly I am that garbage person that visits a place and immediately picks up the accent immediately. I'm hella problematic though.
I remember when I used to live in Miami, Florida, and my cousin called me once, and I was like, "Hello." And he was like, "Ooh, oh, yes. On the phone." I was like, "Mira que guay.
Oh my God.
¿Qué estás haciendo? What?" Because I speak Spanish, and then I just started talking like I had an accent. Yes. And Erica was like, "Please stop this."
Oh my God. I love this version of Lacey. I love Miami Lacey.
Well,
I
don't wanna say, my whole wardrobe was like a highlighter pack. Like everything that I own was like super right. And
yes.
I looked. They was going through my ass.
How long were you in Miami?
I was only there for a year, which is also why it's like, girl, like, why are you trying to act like?
A year's long enough to I feel like if you were there for like 2 weeks, you know, which I feel that I've done stuff like, I feel that I've picked up an accent by the end of a weekend somewhere.
I think it's the actress in us. It's kind of fun to put it on. As long as it isn't offensive. There's some the accents and things that people do that are offensive, but I feel like a regional accent when you go somewhere.
Oh my God. It's the best. I love whenever I go home, I fly into Boston. When I land at Logan, there's a Massachusetts accent. Like, oh, Adam, get over here. How's your mother? You know, that world. Oh, there's like, Adam, come here. Just that whole Rhode Island accent, the Massachusetts. I remember I thought the word fart was spelled FOT until I was like six. It was like, oh, who farted? Who cut the cheese? Oh, sick.
New York accents are just pretty, or like northern, like eastern accents are just like all very cool. It's all like we're in The Godfather.
I love it.
But guys, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back after these non-scam advertisements.
Scams! I love fashion, okay? But we all know buying the latest and the greatest constantly is a little bit of a scam to the planet, which is why I love Nuuly. It's a subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun and get creative with your style. Sometimes you put something on the gram and you can be like, oh, well, it's dead now. Well, with Nuuly, you can keep having fresh fits. And you're helping the planet. Try out trending styles, colors, silhouettes, and then you can send it back for something new. Okay? Come on, Nuuly. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles for more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing. I know that's right. It's fast, free shipping and returns with professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. Plus, the option to buy whatever you love, which I love that because sometimes I put on a piece and I'm like, it's mine now. So you can buy it from Nuuly. I love using Nuuly because the free shipping, it's really quick and the pieces are really nice quality. Also, I love that the orders, like when I got mine, it was shipped in a recyclable, reusable tote. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles. But right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code GODDESS20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with 2 U's. And enter the code GODDESS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with 2 U's with code GODDESS20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. Ooh, do you feel that in the air? Yes, that is summertime. It's in the breeze. It's in the trees. And y'all know when the sky comes out, the thighs come out. And as the weather gets hotter, it's time to say bye to jackets and sweaters and hey to shorts and tees. If you've been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, Quince is for you. Y'all know I love Quince. If you want to be looking chic year after year with classic pieces that you can dress up, dress down, wear around town, you got to get into Quince. They have premium European linen dresses. I have one in green, and oh, when I wear it, it is a showstopper. Blouses, shorts from $30, y'all. Washable silk tops, which I told y'all I love those. I actually went back and got it in navy. I got it in the white, like cream, and I just know when I wear it, I'm going to feel like Diane Keaton on the beach thinking about my life. Like white cream, are you kidding me? It's giving rich, okay? Quince is that girl. Y'all know you see me in their pieces all the time. Get into it. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/goddess for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/goddess to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/goddess.
Cut! All right, guys, and we're back, and it's time for my favorite section of the show, Historic Hoodwinks. This is when I will regale Arden with a very famous caper, and we'll just get her opinions as we go. We'll chat, we'll talk about it. So today, the scam is about William Henry Johnson, a Kentucky miner who scammed Americans by claiming that he was Hitler and plotting a revolt with spaceships.
Wow. And it worked?
Listen, you're going to find out. But what I love about this story is, one, William Henry Johnson is a black man. Two, he is scamming Nazis and Nazi sympathizers and supporters. And I have no sympathy for anybody who is like fucked up and evil and racist getting robbed. I'm like, yes, please, steal from these people.
This is the greatest revenge tale of all time.
It is a little upsetting that these people are so dumb that a revolt with spaceships. And also, this is 1945, Arden. So, like, we weren't even doing space like that at that point.
No, we weren't. Nobody had been to the moon. Nobody had been, like, this was not an option yet.
But, okay, so let's talk about William. I guess.
Okay.
So in 1945, just months after Adolf Hitler committed suicide in his bunker, rumors emerged that the German dictator had survived with his mistress, Eva Braun, as they escaped the country and were hunkered down somewhere. Where exactly was unclear. People claimed to spot him at neo-Nazi gatherings in Colombia or on a U-boat in Argentina.
Oh my God.
The Nazis, the bad guys, they would go and that's to Argentina.
Because it's so far away, it was a place for them to hide out.
So there's
I didn't know.
There's a big legacy of Nazis in Argentina.
That's crazy.
So, and then the other thing is like, this is 1945. Like, we don't got Instagram. So I'm sure there were like plenty of white dudes who look like Hitler. Like, he made that nasty mustache popular. Like,
dude, that mustache is such a choice. That, like, it's such a specific move that has really only happened once. Right. Like, and anybody else that keeps that going. I couldn't tell somebody apart. Like, if you're wearing that, I'm going to assume you're Hitler. Like, why would anybody else
Chaplin.
Wear that mustache?
But Charlie Charlie didn't know what he was doing,
Because I think that was before. Yeah, that was earlier. He was just going pure comedy. He was doing it so he could move. I'll give it to him as a pass because he was in silent movies and he needed to move his face around because he couldn't, you know, make noises and it looked funny with a mustache.
With that little tiny one. Yeah, okay.
A little tiny crazy mustache, but this is what a journey.
So apparently a lot of people thought that they saw him. He was like Tupac at the time, although Tupac way better guy.
Yes.
So everyone's like, I saw him. I saw Hitler the other day. He was at my grocery store. It's like, did you really see him? I don't know.
I saw a documentary once where people thought that Elvis didn't actually die and that, like, they spelled his middle name wrong on his grave. And there was a moment in time, I'm going to confess to you, I watched it. I think I was, like, 19. I was like, maybe he didn't die. Like, and there was some rumors. There's been some Elvis sightings. Like, they thought that he was, you know, there's an actual, he was buried in the plot, like, the wrong plot. And the middle name is wrong because he didn't.
Love a good conspiracy theory, okay? Listen, if there's foil around, I'm going to put a little on my head.
Me too.
You know?
Me too. Me too.
It's cute.
I love it.
So the evidence.
No, it looks.
The evidence of survival was non-existent. But by 1947, a poll found that 45% of Americans believed Hitler had survived. Among them, a group of disgruntled German descendants scattered across the country who for several months had been corresponding with a man who called himself Fourier Number One. And that's William. So in hundreds of letters mailed between 1946 and 1956, 10 years, Furrier number one explained that he was, despite misspelling his title and, because he spelled Furrier, F-U-R-R-I-E-R, like furry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like he was a like he's a furry. He's
and nobody noticed that was odd. But so, because like he was writing in vernacular English. So Adolf Hitler, he was basically saying like, I'm Adolf Hitler. I have survived. The furrier was not Adolf Hitler, but a 61-year-old African-American coal miner and part-time Baptist preacher named William Henry Johnson.
Okay. So let me just get, he was sort of putting out the bat signal to all the Nazis across the country looking for their leader, being like, I survived. It's me. I'm here. Here I am. Send me money. Right. Like, did he?
Because it's like, I think it's like Furrier. It's like, I'm not saying it with a German accent, but he was like, hey, I'm furry. I'm furrier. I got lots of furs. What's up, evils? It's me, y'all leader.
And people were just so desperate for all the evil people were so desperate that they were like, okay, great. Right. He's here.
This is literally your papa. Like, he's. So it's like your old grandpa who's pretending to be a Nazi.
Yes.
So Johnson was described as a tall, full-faced man with a strong and convincing voice by a court witness. He had been duping the would-be interstellar neo-Nazi conquerors for about a decade. Many of Johnson's letters were signed by other aliases, including Eva Hitler, Eva Braun, Admiral Kesselring, Chief Staff, who I guess sometimes he would just say Chief of Staff. What staff? Oh, just chief of staff?
Just the Nazis, just evil, just general evil. Who is he sending these letters to?
He's sending these to German, like, people from Germany who had escaped to America who were hiding probably because they did some fucked up shit. And then also to just, like, Nazi sympathizers. And, like, obviously we still have them currently in our country today. So it's like they have held on for a really long time. It's like y'all lost. Y'all lost a long time ago. Like, can y'all stop?
There was a guy they took away recently in the paper, and I saw him hiding. He was hiding his face. I was like, yeah, you should hide your, like, they found like an old guard a lot recently and like took him off, and he was hiding his, but like he'd been in hiding till like he's still alive.
Craziness. There was two Brit people in the UK who were arrested, one woman for Nazi conspiracy theories because she participated in a pageant. I can't remember what the pageant's called, but it's some kind of like Little Miss Hitler pageant that she was in, and then she got arrested for conspiracy charges. And this is within the past year. Give it up.
Well, then give it up. I just let that
y'all
one go.
Y'all are scamming y'all selves with anti-Semitism. Like, we don't believe you. We don't believe in it. Give it up.
Yeah, give it up. Just let it go. You'll be so much happier. You'll be so much, let go of that hate.
Like, there's nothing, come on now. You tell me the best part of waking up is hate in your cup? You wake up every day mad. How you gonna just wake up fighting the air like NBA Youngboy? Like, that's not a way to live.
That is tiring. Well, they have the two Karens last week that were mad about wearing the mask, and then they wore two Nazi masks into the store. Like, come on.
You know what, though? That's a scam I really want to get into. I was talking to Trixie Mattel about that. I was like, what if I – or actually, I think I was talking to Miles Gray. You know Miles. I was like, what if I started selling, like, hate merch, but it's, like, black-owned?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
People love hate so much. God. Imagine loving hate so much that you're like, I don't know. I need hate merch.
Oh my God, I love if you were running a black owned hate merch. That's scary. It really is a. I mean, just even, I know this is be up in a little while, but like, just even like that Trump was like, put that video up of that doctor that was saying that masks don't work and they have a cure. And they were like, you know, she also said that aliens, like, she's a doctor that talked about like some cure that she got from aliens. And he goes, well, I don't know anything about that. It was like, what is happening here? Like, what is happening here? What is happening here? Everybody just be cool to one another. Let's just all keep each other alive. Let's be kind to one another.
Donald Trump makes me live so and let tired, live, everybody. But I've talked about that on this show. I mean, the man tried to fight the sun, and after that, I really gave up. I was like, okay, we can't win. He is trying to fight the sun. So, like, the sun. Just like the hammer is going to fight a semi.
He's got the hammer. The hammer. It's got. It's just. That's. It's just a whole other thing. It's a whole next level. It's the next level thing.
It really is. But yes. Yeah, so he's signing these things as chief of staff and whatever else. Sure. And a few messages came from a Hitler aide named A. von Belusky. Postal inspectors wondered whether Johnson added a bogus. Like another name as a private joke. Maybe. Child, he was just out here writing letters to everybody and anybody. It was like The Notebook, except for he was sending them out to everybody. He was like, hey, Nazis, no, I think about you every day.
I've been thinking about you so hard, and I'm feeling your hate, and I just want you to know you're not alone. And it's me, Dr. Ava Braun Skolansky, Hitler Nomsky's. And I just want to know you're, you know, it's bless your heart for having so much hate in it. Just bless
I can
your
feel
heart
your hate
for having so much hate
me.
In it. I feel your hate. And I know everybody's bummed out that Hitler, I'm alive, guys. It's my time to shine. I've got my stash going. You know, just send me some monies to just send it to care of my friend in Pennsylvania. We're cool.
Right. If a postal code people tell you that a black man showed up to take the money, that's just my slave. I still have one. I know it was abolished a long time ago, but somehow Hitler, I still have one slave.
I've got one slave left. I got to keep on keeping on. And it's just gentlemen that I'm interested to go get my mail. Because you think Hitler can be out
getting
and
mail?
About getting his mail
Hell
in
no.
public? Yeah, no, no,
Hell
no,
no.
But thank you. Thank you
so
much for sending
me
money.
I'm definitely not the black guy. Just want to write that at the end. So no, I'm sincerely not black.
I'm
definitely Hitler.
Yep, chief of staff, not the black guy. Definitely Hitler. Yours truly, XO, too cool for school. Stay cool
with
this
hate,
summer, Hitler.
Hitler.
all the best hate to you and yours. Stay safe, stay cool. Hatefully yours,
right,
Hitler.
Hatefully yours. Like, what the hell is this? So, Hitler and his crew had set up a camp in Kentucky to plot a new revolt and take over the United States, then the world. This sounds very pinky in the brain.
Right.
And
yes.
Finally.
Next up, the world.
Finally.
Yes.
Out of space.
Okay. Great. That's right.
Look, William had the Elon now, Musk plan before Elon was even alive.
He's having a baby. He's giving it a number name with a foxy rock star. I know. I feel like you're blowing your crazy cover, William, when, you know, you might be able to get away with sending people to get people to send you money and whatnot. But when once you start talking outer space, you might want to ixnay on the outer A space. That's where, like, the believers want to believe you. They want to believe. Like, the haters got to hate. They want to hate and believe. But when you start talking about outer space, there's a little bit of a record scratch in a scam.
I mean, I feel like if you're on board with Hitler still alive and you're getting personal letters from him like you are Rachel McAdams in The Notebook, then you're probably already pretty far gone. So maybe space is just like, you're like, sure. No, I would love to go to space with you, Hitler. It sounds lit.
You're right.
I have to think of, but you just made me think of something. I don't know why this is kind of tangential, but like you saying like, okay, he's getting a little crazy, right? It just made me think of that politician. I think his name was Dean or something like that. But they called it the Dean Scream after he was like,
Howard Dean. It was this. How? He ruined his whole future with one yelp. He gave himself a one-star yelp.
First of all, I feel so bad for him because he would have been a superstar now. Like, he would have just, it would have been fine. Like, Donald Trump is trying to fight the sun on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he's got a crazy doctor that he's endorsing. On Thursday, he's telling us to drink bleach. So, like, he would have been fine in this political climate. But back then, pew, literally ended him.
Dude. Pew! How? The Dean Scream. I have so much compassion for him because I fear when I, you know, I get a little nervous. I fear that if my nerves were really getting the better of me, I, in my excitement, could do some move if a camera was recording me at all times, I could easily do some move that would be mocked till the right. end of time.
And now I know why I thought of it, because of the sentence that Hitler, the black man William, was sending out, because he said, "We're going to conquer the United States and then the world and finally outer space."
Pew! Neptune, here we next stop, Neptune. Pew!
Oh, the racism's gotta be good on Neptune. Everything was going according to plan. Furrier number one explained, but he needed help getting help in the form of generous contributions to the cause. By 1956, the alleged Hitler collected at least $15,000 from recipients of his letters, and over $140,000 when it was adjusted for inflation. In exchange for financial support, he offered prominent positions in the new regime, the coveted ranks of Furrier number two and Furrier number three, to top donors. Small contributors would be thanked with royal palaces and diplomat virgins.
Wait, what?
What is a diplomat virgin?
So they got virgins? It all feels very culty. Yeah. It feels very
into Al-Qaeda almost like a little bit.
It's a little Al-Qaeda. It's like a little pyramid scheme meets Al-Qaeda. You know, like a little bit of, you pay in, I'm going to give you these certain titles, but then you're also going to get some virgins.
Like what?
It feels,
you can either have a royal palace or one of our virgins. What?
Oh, God. Golly. That is very, very culty, very... people want to believe and are captured by a lot of hate.
I
can't believe I can't believe no one's ever heard
right.
of him. I mean, that I'm aware of.
This is
an amazing figure.
I don't think I like William. I think I don't fuck with him. I think he's a bad guy. I thought he was just being like a fun black person who was robbing racists, but I don't think I like this man. So occasionally Johnson would make requests. In addition to money, send a sport coat and a pair of white shoes, size 11. It's necessary for Adolf to dress sporty so he won't be recognized. You know what Hitler really needs? For you to go to Lacoste and pick up.
Yes. He wants like a preppy, jaunty, like day at the, like a Nantucket day at the races. He wants like a sporty little outfit.
Like, why are you having your following style you? Like, you couldn't just get money from them and then go buy the sport coat. You were like, so who of my hater organization?
My hate army.
Which one of y'all is a good dresser?
Yeah. Who looks the best? And I need you to send these in a size 11, 34 waist. And I'll be in my invisible cab. I'll send my assistant William will come pick it up. Don't pay any mind to him. He's just my assistant. He's, you know, I treat him terribly.
I hate him so much because he is black. So don't worry.
I hate him. But the fact that this guy got access to so many people is impressive and terrifying, and it just shows you how much people want to believe, like, that he was able, they want something to follow.
I mean, people need it, and I guess I get it. It's just it's a lot. I mean, like, you're asking for clothes, I just can't. So a few times the victims wanted to meet Hitler, but Johnson quickly persuaded them against it by concocting urgent crises like FBI traps, elaborate escapes, or he invented an illness. He was like, Hitler got typhoid. He can't come. So he said, one of the things that he would tell people, this is like an excuse that makes absolutely no sense. So I just want you to know I'm going to read something that's not going to make sense, and I will try to make sense of it.
Great.
I may not be able to. You try as well, Arden. Let's see.
I love this.
So it says, we are going everything to keep the blood streams around the brains clear. What? Johnson wrote this in a letter under the alias General Kassengesser to keep down a paralyze, which is possible when the brain stream are not clear and free of oh my God. Ugh. I'm sorry. Are we all having a stroke together? We're all having a stroke together.
I feel like he's just somebody who's actually crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I think he might be. I feel like he's somebody who's actually mentally ill, hears voices, probably believes some of this. Like, probably, maybe he thinks he is.
And somewhere. I mean,
like, that's, like, it almost feels like that level of crazy. Right.
And I do want to say, like, mental illness doesn't mean that you're, like, an evil person. Like, we're not saying that at all.
No.
But I think in this case, this person perhaps could have had delusions of grandeur. Like, for sure. Because they're committed to this bit, like, super hard. Like,
yeah. Well, when some of this stuff doesn't make sense.
I think what's happening here is he was saying, like, Hitler can't come see you because he has an illness, and everybody's got to keep the blood streams around the brain clear. Obviously, he ain't ever even watched Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, because this don't even sound like fake doctor talk.
No, he's never watched Dr. Quinn. Yeah, I mean, it was so early on. It was the 40s, so he doesn't know his good fake doctor talk yet. We can all have our good fake doctor, but like,
or maybe no one does. I think in the 40s, blood streams might sound convincing. I might be like, oh, okay, his blood streams. Yep. That's why he can't come, because of the blood streams.
I mean, the guy's clearly covering his trail, and like, if they already believed him that they're all going to outer space, maybe they'll buy the blood streams.
It makes sense to me.
The followers are already on board with this. Where do you guys find all of your historic scans? I'm always impressed by these. Like, they're really detailed and
sometimes it's the congregation who will send something my way. A lot of times I'll Google it. However, the research is always done by Sherilyn Vera. Shout out to Sherilyn Vera.
Yes, Sherilyn. Thank you.
Great documentarian and director, and she is excellent at this.
It's fascinating.
It is. And she always finds super fun details. Like, she literally wrote in here, like, heads up before reading this out loud, it doesn't make any sense.
I love that.
Oh, Lord. And it did not. Thank you, Sherilyn. But let's keep going. Let's get through this. So Charlie Brown, who's a victim, officers did identify at least one target of Johnson's scam, an African-American.
Charlie Brown. He victimized poor Charlie Brown. Always getting that football pulled aside by Lucy.
That's literally what the scam is that they just pull the football out from under him.
I'm sorry. No, come kick it. Okay, so he scammed Charlie Brown.
He was an African-American handyman who had donated roughly $1,000 to the cause despite having little money himself. Charlie, you black. Why was you donating to Hitler? What?
And in 1940s, whatever, $1,000, that's a lot. That was probably like $15,000. You know, I don't know what for inflation, but that was probably at least $15,000 now, I would imagine.
I'm glad that you hit your face because they pulled the football out from under your dumb ass. Because what the fuck did you do this for? You're black. You're talking about like Aryan people who identify as Aryan, like, okay, Hitler liked them. Like, Hitler did not like black people. What are you doing?
Hitler wouldn't have liked, Hitler, no, you're giving your money to the wrong club.
God damn. God. So when Inspector Lewis interviewed him, Brown had just mailed Hitler $20, leaving him with only 8 cents in his pocket and a single can of beans for food.
Aww.
So you sent him $1,020? Like, you didn't think $1,000 was enough? He was like, I do have a last $20.
I could spend this. I have a can of beans, so that'll get me through till tomorrow. I will send you my last $20. Yes, you can have it. After thinking this through, you could
imagine if you were Charlie Brown's wife.
Oh God,
where did all my money go?
What did you do? I'm sorry. Who you sent it to? Who? Charlie, Mr. Brown.
Oh, God. So Brown had considered it an investment, and Johnson, who was playing Hitler, had promised him the title of Fuhrer Number 3, the position to govern over a large territory, a royal palace, and some virgins, like, you know, a handful, a sprinkle, also of virgins.
You get, it's a nice, like a garnish of
virgins. It was a good package deal that he was going to get. So he said, the letter also read, I'm going to make our colored friend Brown assisted world ruler for his bravery and act last week in sending the money.
Okay. All right.
Listen.
He was trying to do Brown a solid. He was trying to help him out.
Charlie Brown, let me say something to you.
Charlie Brown.
Okay, look. I know you probably hella did, listen, Charlie, but.
Yeah. Yeah, in case. But just in case
you're not. Or maybe you're in Neptune now and you can hear me.
Yep. He made it.
Maybe he made it to Neptune. Racism is hard. It's terrible. And I get it. Sometimes there's an inclination of like, you know what? Maybe I should just get with the winning team. But
yes, I'm going to join them. I'm going to join them.
Do that, okay? Don't Candace Owens yourself. Do not Candace Owens yourself. That's why her hair's so dry, because she sold out to the black community, so now she'll never have an edge again. We spoke.
She's never. Oh, yeah, it's on. I mean, and you know, just bet on yourself. Don't keep your money, Charlie Brown. Keep, do not try to go to the winning team. It's the wrong team. It's the
Charlie,
wrong team.
Charlie, they won't win forever, okay? We will fight hate. We are fighting it little by little. We are making progress, but Charlie, goddamn.
Progress is slowly, times are changing. Please, Charlie, please.
Oh, God. All right, well, this is how he got caught. So the full story wouldn't emerge until a two-day trial. In the trial, Johnson claimed to be a private detective working to track down a ring of subversives seeking up a new government here. He held up a shiny new detective badge and told the court that he had been trying to break the case so he could turn it over to the FBI. You know how crimes and jobs and crime work. You know, it's like you work on your own. You freelance. I'm a freelance police officer.
You work on your own. I don't work for anybody. This badge that looks like a penny that's been driven over by a train, and I glued a pin on the back. That's my sheriff's badge, and I will be representing myself. I'm also my lawyer.
I'm just show up to crime scenes. I don't watch enough SVU. I can do what Mariska Hargitay do. I'm down there. They got the coning it off. They're like, ma'am, who are you? I'm like, look, I'm a private detective. I work for me.
Yeah. I'm just going to put some stuff in bags. I'm putting evidence in bags. I got some tweezers. I work for me. I'm the boss of me. You don't
We're
tell me
all
what to
detectivizing
do.
Here, okay? I'm detectivizing. Y'all detectivizing.
It's always a wild card move to represent yourself, yes. too. I feel like if you're all like, I'll be playing the part of the detective, the plaintiff, and the lawyer, like that's a wild card move.
Feels unhinged. So he said it started 10 years ago when a man named Hoover came to his home and told him about Hitler. This is what Johnson said, possibly referring to the then active, arguably dictatorial FBI director, Edgar Hoover. He said that he was Furrier number two and wanted me to help collect funds. So Johnson told the jury that he had graduated from Chicago Street Service Correspondence School. No idea what that means.
That's how you become a detective, a freelance detective.
So showing an even larger badge, he has another badge. He came to the courtroom badge down.
He is. Now, I know you were intimidated by Lieutenant Arden, but perhaps you haven't met Detective Arden, who's also me with my giant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, also, now he's in the Secret Service. This is the next badge. This one says Secret Service on it. I'm sure everything's spelled correctly. Yeah, very secretive. Next, he's going to pull out.
Oh, he cray. He cray. He cray cray. He cray to the cray. Did the cray.
He's
the
like,
cray,
now
cray.
Here's my Boy Scouts badge. As you can see, I can tie many ropes. Like, how many badges? Yeah.
I lit this fire. This is my badge.
Now, this is...
I also was a sportsmanship badge. I was polite about it as I've been doing all
this
stuff.
So he claimed that he'd been commissioned by an unnamed Chicago firm to write letters and only pretended to go along with the scheme in order to find out if Hitler was actually alive. According to one report, he alleged that two other men had dictated the letters to him and that he had turned over all the money to him. He was like, I don't even have the money. I gave the money away. It wasn't even my money.
To my imaginary friend in J. Edgar Hoover. This is it. I gave it. It wasn't my money.
So one of the key pieces of evidence against Johnson was his penmanship. A handwriting expert testified that Hitler's signature on the letters had in fact belonged to Johnson. The post office was familiar with Johnson. Okay, so see, I don't like that because, like, I don't believe in signature analysts. That's a scam.
That feels like such a, and who actually becomes that as their job? Like, who grows up and is like, I
hater.
A hater.
That's a new hater profession, guys. We got meter maids. We got tax accountants or auditors. We got goddamn handwriting analysts.
Handwriting analysts, for sure. That's a hater. That is a
hater. Your whole job is just going to look at people's crooked letter eyes and like, come on now.
And like... And it's also like nobody can dispute you. I can be like, that's definitely Lacey. It's not like somebody else actually can tell. Like, no, I can tell that's how she dotted her I.
It's a scam job.
There's not.
And now I want to do it.
It's a scam job. I know. Actually, it would. I think you should. I fully support that.
I'm like,
no,
this was definitely him. Because look at that J. And they'd be like, ma'am, can you explain that?
Yeah.
How much time we got?
I also feel a little bit like lie detectors feel a little
scary. They are.
Like, how... Yeah, it feels a little
scary. That's why they're
scary.
Inadmissible in court. I would love to run lie detectors. It just sounds like you just kind of got to be scary to people and then hope that they sweat.
Have you ever had a lie detector?
I have not. But I
haven't either, but I feel like I would like to. I actually think I'm a pretty easy read because I'm a bad liar. Like, I feel like I'd be so excited that I was lying that it would be off the
charts. I heard that you have to just feel like you're lying the whole time. Like, you have to just, like, be nervous, breathe the same quick amount, and, like, just, feel like, everything you're saying, you have to feel unsure about it. That way, you can't really tell across the board.
If I knew I had to get a lie detector, I think maybe I would try to buy one, practice all my lies.
Just doing my lies. Practice. Getting up early, doing my lies.
Yeah. Practice my lies. I feel like you could train yourself to not be.
You absolutely can. Because that's why they're inadmissible in court. Because it's honestly just some fun-ass machine we made.
I didn't know that.
They're whole purple.
That's the equivalent of like those ghost hunters guys with their ghost readers. Have you ever watched them? Those are
bullshit.
I love watching. I mean, I like to believe that things are haunted. I get excited. I hope that, like, that children's hospital has the children that want to play ball, like all that. But why have they never been able to prove it? But I do want to believe it,
though. I love it. And, like, I want them to get more petty with it. I want them to be like, we found your granny in a corner and she farted. Like, you know, it doesn't have to be so deep.
Yes.
I want there just to be some stupid things happening.
Oh my God, I feel like you could sell a script right now, like a good comedy, you know, like a scary movie type movie that you could do with like ghosts.
Your grandpa came back and he said, you need to stop ejaculating into socks. That's all he wanted to say.
Your grandmother just made me pull her finger in the corner for hours.
Like, I want them to have nothing important to say because I feel like that's always the thing. It's like, she wants you to know that you are loved. It's like, why can't you be like, she wants you to know you really need to put the bread ties back on the bread.
You've got to stop. I like that she knows you're jerking off into socks. You've got those crusty socks have got to go. She's watching.
She's like, you're 28 now. You can't keep jacking off into crusty socks.
You got to get a job, baby. You got to get a job.
Oh, gosh. Well, this is what I actually thought was damning evidence. The police office said that they were familiar with the post office said that they were familiar with Johnson. So, like, he's VIP at the post office. He comes in, makes it rain stamps, you know.
Yes. Yes, he is. He's getting bottle service at the post office.
He's like Drake
at
the post office.
He's Drake at yes, for sure. He's Drake at the post office because he's mailing out so many letters.
So the post office was like, oh, my God, we know Johnson. That's our boy, okay? Ain't nobody looking stamps like Johnson. So 5 years into his scheme, Johnson had landed himself on probation for different mail fraud convictions. Mail fraud's a big thing. They catch a lot of scammers with mail fraud. So the Reverend had posed as an attorney and taught a recently remarried widow how to forge records and reinstate her unmarried widow checks in exchange for a cut of the profits. He was running all types of scams. Another dead giveaway was Johnson's handwritten confession. What?
That's a giveaway. Hey, I did this. This was all me. Good job, Sherlock Holmes of the courtroom. Like, a handwritten confession.
You're joking,
will do it.
But literally, quite literally, it says, "I am guilty of everything. I am guilty of it all. And if you can forgive me and allow me another chance of freedom, I will prove my worthy and make good citizen. If not, please be merciful unto me, a poor and guilty criminal."
Oh, he's so bad at being a criminal. He's so bad at it. I've come full circle on William. I think he didn't actually succeed in harnessing the hate. I think he's just a really bad criminal.
He was just getting the money.
I wonder how much he actually got. How much did he actually get?
Around $16,000. Which for the time, this is the 40s, was a decent amount of money.
I mean, I feel, I'm conflicted about him. Because at least he was targeting haters, but I think he was just really bad at being a criminal. Like, I think that he maybe didn't know what he was doing. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think, like, It does feel like the Dave Chappelle sketch. It's really this poor guy. I don't think he quite gets who he's gotten behind.
And you know what? I think you're right. And also he was saying wild shit. But because these people are so fucked up, they went along with it. So he probably didn't realize it was going to get this far. And he wrote this letter and he's like, hello, court. Yeah. It's me, a criminal. Someone who did crime. I definitely did everything. And I am guilty.
He is the world's... I think truly... Again, I come full. At first, I was rooting for him. Then I was against him, and now because he is almost like the character Charlie Brown. Like it's literally like a cartoon character. He's so bad at being a criminal. There's almost an innocence to our sweet little William.
I think you're right.
There's an innocence, and he's a terrible, terrible, terrible criminal.
He is. He was like, I did. Here are more crimes I did that y'all don't know about. What are you doing?
Yeah, let me tell you, just in case you want to catch me, I've got a few. It reminds me, a good criminal, but a similar, like, letter writer. Did you watch The Jinx with Robert Durst? I mean, you must have this.
You
should. Oh, you're going to love it. Scam Goddess. I can't believe I'm the one delivering this to you.
Oh, I love this. The Jinx.
Oh my God, I'm not even gonna tell you anything, what I was about to tell you, because it's the climax, and I'm not gonna do it, because it's, and please nobody email in and tell her. Okay, it was on HBO, it's like a 6-part documentary series. It's such a great murder scam, so like, there's a man pretending to be a woman, there's murders, like, pretending to be roommates. And the way he gets caught on camera is incredible.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm gonna look this up. I'm excited.
It's terrifying and thrilling, and you're gonna love it. You're gonna love it. You're gonna binge it. You're gonna binge it like you binged Indian.
I am, and I need new content anyway. Well, okay, guys. So, fake Hitler. He went to jail for 3 years. And yeah,
okay.
It wasn't too bad. In federal prison, and they were served concurrently. After the trial ended, Johnson would not appear in any local papers again. His birth certificate, death certificate, marriage certificate, or obituary, none of them have been found. So
I feel protective of him because I feel that he didn't fully know what he was doing. So I hope he had an okay time in prison. I feel like baby
boy. He
was
in his 60s. That's like not a great time in your life to go to prison. Like you're like old.
No. No. I feel like I want to give him a hug and some guidance. Like I just want to point, just turn his body a slightly different direction so he's a slightly different focus, like away from like the Nazi thing. Like give him a hobby maybe.
Dress him up.
He definitely had he had some ambition. I feel badly. He was a really bad scammer, but he's successful. And then ultimately, there's an innocence.
Well, guys,
we'll
be right back for the end of the show.
Robbery! Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. On each episode of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop, comedians join host Misha Brown to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time and try to answer the age-old question, who thought this was a good idea? Like, who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize? When they launched their Pepsi points system, they never imagined somebody might try to actually snag it. But a 23-year-old did, and suddenly, Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop wherever you get your podcasts.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.
And fraud! All right, guys. guys, and we're back with Scammer of the Week. And this is where we honor one famous charlatan who we feel is worthy of our praise. And this week it's going to be former Baltimore Mayor Catherine E. Pugh, who used her self-published Healthy Holly children's books to generate more than $800,000 of income while failing to deliver tens of thousands of books. So Catherine was sentenced to 3 years in prison after pleading guilty to fraud, tax evasion, and conspiracy. The fraudulent sales helped fund straw donations to Pugh's political campaigns and allowed her to buy and renovate a second home in Baltimore. Her fall began when the Baltimore Sun reported that the University of Maryland Medical System, who's on the board of directors that she sat on, had granted her a no-bid $500,000 contract for 100,000 copies of her book.
Wow. Yes.
Thousands of copies of this book were intended to promote nutrition and exercise, and they ended up in a warehouse or in Pugh's houses or offices. Gary Brown Jr., a Pugh aide, and Rosalind Weddington, a city employee, were implicated in the scheme, pleading guilty to the fraud, conspiracy, and also to tax evasion. So they also got 3 years in prison. Pugh had to pay $400,000 in restitution and forfeit more than $600,000, including her home in Baltimore, and nearly $17,000 from her campaign account. Her attorneys asked for a sentence of 1 year, describing the 69-year-old former mayor as a broken woman whose crimes were out of character for someone who's so dedicated to public service.
I love when somebody does it so intentionally and so publicly on such a large scale. Like it would have been so easy for her just to, like,
It's like you wrote the fake book. I saw the cover. It's like Healthy Holly. Also, healthy books for kids.
It's a kid
they don't
book.
Have to be complicated. It's not kid keto.
No.
You could have just been like, run and chase your friends
eat an
outside.
Apple. Yeah. Play tag, eat an apple, maybe put down, like, you know, the Big Mac and, like, you know, have a carrot. There you go.
Don't spend $200 on Fun Dip. Like, one page book.
I loved Fun Dip. I loved it. I was
That's a little kid crack.
That. You know, I do love when Kid Crack, it was full Kid, I was such a there was the mayor of Providence when I was growing up, he got thrown in jail for, there was like money laundering, I think, and then he had an off-duty police officer drive him over to his lover's house, and he put a cigar out on the guy's dick, and he hit him with a fireplace andiron. He got thrown in jail, got out, got reelected. He had a toupee that he called the squirrel. He had a pasta sauce called the mayor's choice. And then he got thrown back in jail for, like, there was like mafia stuff. And then he got out again and he was going to get reelected. But then he became like a radio the most popular DJ in the state. Buddy Cianci.
You just took me on the wildest ride, Arden. That was 30 seconds
it's
of what?
So
what? What?
Yeah, you should look up Buddy Cianci. That's a great, he's a great scam. He was a great scam.
Buddy Cianci.
He kept getting reelected.
And that's the crazy part.
Buddy Cianci.
He's burning people's penises with cigarettes and hitting them with pokers. And that's just in one evening? That's just a Tuesday night?
That was one night. Yeah. Yeah. And that was like not the biggest problem. There was other problems. He got, and people loved him. He was a great mayor.
Sounds charismatic.
But he was fully... Yeah, charismatic, crazy's charismatic, and people loved him. He would have been reelected
but
three
also,
times. But he was in twice.
If you do your job, then is it my business whose penis you burning? That sounds like some personal stuff.
You know what? That's between you and the penis that you're burning.
That ain't got nothing to do with me.
You know? That's not to do with me. I'm not judging you. You do what you got to do. I'm not going
to
judge your
free time.
I'm just
trying to figure out if we got that new stop sign in front of the school. As long as we got that penis burning.
Yeah, you cleared the... Yeah, the pothole is filled. You go burn away. Who cares?
Well, I wish that Baltimore Mayor Catherine Pugh had been a little smarter with this scam because I'm disappointed. Also, I love that they said that she was a broken woman and like tried to make this like one incident. Sis was getting her house remodeled. That's a very involved thing to do with stolen money.
You've got permits you have to pull. That's like a long, that's a long legal process. Again, you could probably self-publish a really shitty paperback, 4-page booklet and just nobody care. Just send them, like, great, just something that you mail. So, like, give them something that costs you a dollar, keep the rest of the money, and you're good to go. How hard
is
that?
It's not hard at all. And also, like, what are kids going to say? You know, when an adult has a book, I might read Weight Watchers or whatever and be like, you know, it just really didn't work for me. But if I'm 7 years old, I'm not going to be like, look, I wasn't getting the results on the playground that I thought I was going to get from Healthy Holly.
I thought, I was really hoping for my core was going to get different results. Kids don't want to read a book about fitness, some adult book about fitness. Like, I don't want somebody talking about my body to me as a child. I don't care what I look like. I don't want people trying to help me out and, like, trying to make broccoli fun. Like, I'm not into that. I don't want that book. I want to read, like, some book about farts. Like,
and also, I'm glad that you said that, because that's also to the greater point of this is, like, yeah, we should have kids eat healthy. But if any kid is, like, focusing on their body as a child, that's fucking wild. Like, dude, stop,
dude.
Y'all.
I remember as a child when adults started commenting on my body, it was like, you know, I just remember just being like, what? Like, what are you talking about? What is, you know, my mom was doing like diet gum, you know, she's like, do you want to be, I was like, why am I eating your diet gum? Like, what is this? I weigh like 70 pounds. You know what I mean? You're trying to get me down to like 68. Like, I don't know what this is.
Gum.
I don't know what's happening.
That's
here.
A scam right there.
Diet gum is a real scam. Diet gum is a real deal scam for sure.
But I mean, like, that's also just a whole industry that's a huge scam, is like body shaming and telling people they can't be fat and calling like, look, there's obesity and there's people who are fat. And just because you're fat doesn't mean you're unhealthy. I know a ton of healthy fat people who work out all the time and eat really well. So it's America's scam of being like, no, we're doing this to protect you, girl. That's why we need you to buy these things.
Dude. I was 30 pounds heavier all through high school and college. And, like, I look back now and I was cute. And, like, everybody, like, people tell you about yourself. It's like, I was healthy. I was fine. Like, there was nothing wrong with me. And, like, everybody's telling you all this stuff. And
that's the big, like, American scam. I just watched a segment because I needed to approve an ad, and I always try to approve ads that I really like and I fuck with, and if they're by black-owned companies, even better. But during the segment was other stuff that they were selling, and one of them was a $98 eye mascara. And look, I will splurge on makeup, but I was like, $98? Yeah, I better grow a whole new eye.
Yes, that is, dude, I'm forever. I'm all L'Oreal. It's the L'Oreal Voluminous Carbon Black. I wait till it's on super sale, because sometimes that can be like $11, and I really only want to pay $6 for it. So I will wait till I get my CVS card or my Walgreens card, and I will go get my like my CVS bucks for it, and then I'll go get it.
And
that's,
I know,
all you
what
need.
You're talking about, like, there's some girls out there like Pat McGrath, she's black on that, I love her stuff, and she's a little more pricey, but I'm like, $98, and they were like, Meghan Markle loves this eyelash.
No, you know what? And I'm not doing it for. I'll do it for skin. I'm not doing it for mascara. And by the way, I'll be putting on fakies anyway. I'll be putting on my falsies, just like
Ardell,
my
y'all. I work on
Ardell,
so many professional
Impress
sets,
and Ardell.
And Ardell is everywhere. Like,
me too. Ardell is really all you need. The Ardell is all you need. You can do the individuals. You can do the strips.
Ardell sponsor us,
and then you get just
sponsor us, Ardell.
Ardell is great. Impress, sponsor them. Rebecca Minkoff makes a really cute line on the Impress nails. She's got like long, like sunset patterns and stuff that I have coming to my house. I've got some party nails coming that are kind of like the fun, like slight pointy
shape. Oh, yes.
Shape.
I love a coffin. I love a pointy.
I love a stiletto. I love an almond. I love an almond nail. They're all en route. I'm going to be pressing them on, hopefully talking to like Andy Cohen or whoever about my book. Blah, praying they don't fall off, just holding them still.
You're going to look amazing. And speaking of that book, guys, that's Little Miss Little Compton. I'm holding it up right now as if you could see me, and you cannot. But it's so funny and it's so sweet. Like, this is
thank
and
you.
I'm not even that deep into it yet. And it's wild. It's fucking wild, Arden.
I think it's a fun ride. I think it's a fun ride. I think it's a wild ride. Like, look, my family was really fun. They weren't perfect. And so, you know, I had a great mom. I had a real tricky dad. And, like, I think it's an inspiring book that, like, you can kind of, if people have told you some not nice things about yourself growing up, that you can grow up and sort of shed that and thrive. And, again, I grew up with stars in my eyes, and I talked very clearly about how I got onto TV by the time I was 20, just growing up in a farm town.
And you are a star.
And, you know, I didn't know
you
anyone.
You are a star, Arden. Thanks, seriously, honey. You're so talented.
You are.
And just such a wonderful thanks, person. Honey. So they and anywhere that you want people to find you, anything that you want to promote, other than this amazing book, which comes out September, y'all, Little Miss Little Compton.
Yes. And it's all about the pre-orders. Apparently, if you want to be on the bestseller list, it's really all about the pre-orders. And I have a, like, so if you guys email receipts, if you buy, you can just take a screen grab. You can send it to rosepodcast@gmail.com. Every week until the book comes out, we are doing giveaways. So we're doing cute tote bags from the book, Little Miss Little Compton tote bags. We're doing puzzles, t-shirts. So if you said the earlier you send it, you have a better chance of getting a giveaway. I host a podcast on iHeartRadio, but you can get it wherever you get your podcast, called Will You Accept This Rose? It's a bachelor theme. So fun. It's so silly. Lacey's been on it and she's gonna be on it again. It's so fun. And then I'm on Insatiable on Netflix. So the two seasons of that are up.
God,
you can
you're so
watch
funny
that.
On that damn show. It's ridiculous. That oh character.
Thank you. I'm full such garbage.
What a
such
horrible garbage. Mom.
I'm truly the worst person on earth. Oh my God. Oh, honey, everybody's a little bit gay. Yes. It's like just full
it's
garbage,
amazing.
Full trash.
Guys, as always, you can find us at Scam Goddess Pod on all platforms. If you want to email us your scam, snitch on your family and your friends, scamgoddesspod@gmail.com. And if you want to follow me and my shenanigans, D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I, Diva Lacey on all platforms. Congregation.
Oh, I'm on Instagram. Arden Marine on Instagram. ArdenMyrin.
Yes. And oh, you got good Instagram content. I love following you on Instagram.
Thanks, honey.
All right, guys. Congregation. Stay scamming.
Scam Goddess.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network. So whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.